They say that they want people to think outside the box. But if someone actually does it, they're like, nah, not this way. You don't talk like us. You don't walk like us. We don't like the people you play with. Therefore, we'll not look at your ideas.
Sabine Hossenfelder is a German theoretical physicist turned YouTuber, science educator, author, all that sort of thing. She used to work in the field, but she left, and she cites unscientific practices and dogmatic reactions to new ideas as her reasons why. I'm sure that's a shock to my regular viewers that scientists sometimes get dogmatic and oppose changes to their field. It's crazy, huh? Now, recently, she was watching an episode of Piers Morgan Uncensored, and she saw Eric Weinstein on there, and she felt inclined to make a video about it. When I watched that video, two things leapt out at me. One, and similarities between the problems that they experience in physics and that they experience in archaeology, they're vast, they're numerous. Psychology is psychology no matter where you go. Number two, holy crap, there's people that are quote-unquote professors and scientists that try to weigh in on this sort of stuff, and they don't really understand the data whatsoever, and instead of being like, hey, theoretical physics is outside of my wheelhouse, sorry, because that is a tough one to suss. Instead, they're like, oh, this person bad, this person know nothing, this person dumb, and, well, they make money at it. But we're going to show contrast these boneheads with, like, what an actual theoretical physicist has to say about this stuff. And we're going to find out that dogma, not actual data, is what's most important to the general YouTube science educator. Anyway, this one's going to be a lot of fun. Sit yourself down. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. Max Planck, Nobel Prize-winning theoretical physicist. It seems that history really does repeat itself, because here it is about 100 years later, and we have another German theoretical physicist complaining about exactly the same sort of crap.
Okay, I want to talk about Eric Weinstein, because people keep asking me to talk about Eric Weinstein. And I think it's somewhat insulting, really. They should be asking him to talk about me.
Sorry, Sabina, you're not going to get Eric. You're going to get whatever it is you guys would call me in German. Heiliger Abdachloser? Loser?
More seriously, I watched this recent episode of Eric and Sean Carroll on Piers Morgan and read the comments from all those who piled on afterwards. And boy, was this ugly. I can't believe the fucking hypocrisy of these people.
Ah, yes, Piers Morgan. I remember the first time I went on that show. Good times. Okay, that's enough tooting my own horn. I'll wait till you guys aren't watching to finish myself off there. But what I really want to talk about is, you know, Sabina's accuse them people of open hypocrisy. And, you know, that's something I accuse archaeologists and their associated fluffers of doing all the time. So, before we go too much further, it is important to note that Sabina does know Eric personally.
I've known Eric for almost 20 years. He's a good guy.
And while this will certainly color the ways that she looks at his data, she's pretty hard on it. She doesn't believe in the theory of everything. As a matter of fact, she thinks it's a pipe dream. She thinks it's pissing up a rope, for a lack of a better way of putting it. But she made a video because it's a larger, overarching thing that she wants to discuss.
If you take away one thing from this video, let it be that Sabina said Eric's a good and fairly normal person, in contrast to a lot of others who think it's okay to shit on people they know nothing about. I've seen an enormous amount of hate thrown at Eric that he doesn't deserve.
And there's a real issue here. Sabina feels that Eric has been unfairly criticized, that the criticisms levied against him could go against his colleagues just as easily, and that it's basically been more of a hate mob than an actual scientific inquiry. And that, well, viewers of my channel will know I take that really personally, actually. I love science, and I don't know everything about science. I can't know everything about all these different fields. So like the rest of us, I rely on our experts to properly dispense that information. And when they don't properly dispense it because they've got some ideological bullshit reason to lie to us or to mislead us or to just kind of massage the truth a little bit to make it what they want, they're betraying the money, the prestige, the all of the influence that they get from us, that the lay people of the world put at their feet, they betray it. And now they used to get a lot more prestige in recent years. It's starting to get kicked at more and more and more. And what's kind of funny is it's like we have these YouTubers that are kind of picking up some of the prestige. I mean, some of us take it kind of seriously. Others of us just kind of like scream and yell and be like, "Bruh!"
This is the way in which Sabina is similar to a figure like Eric Weinstein. Now, to be clear, Sabina is not Eric Weinstein. She does not proclaim to have a brilliant theory of everything, whine about how nobody will take it seriously, and then devolve into a toxic toddler while evading any and all legitimate criticism of her completely unsubstantive work.
Eric has a theory of everything, like all other people I know. His is called geometric unity. He's been talking about this already 20 years ago. It's his life's work, basically. In 2021, he wrote up some notes about it. Physicists were not particularly impressed.
Now, I imagine a large number of you already know Eric Weinstein's work, but I didn't know it before watching Sabina's video and digging into it a little bit, so I'll go ahead and lay it out for those of you who don't know what he's talking about. Bare bones version. In a nutshell, he proposes geometry as a means to unify general relativity with quantum mechanics. His theory posits undiscovered particles and uses a 14-dimensional model of reality. Like all proposed unifying theories, it is incomplete and it relies on future discoveries and innovations to hopefully become complete. He has made several public statements regarding this theory but has yet to publish a peer-reviewed paper on the matter. But why listen to what an electrician has to say on this when we have an expert?
I never looked into this in any detail because I'm not interested in unification ideas and I think it's a waste of time. I don't see why the fundamental forces of nature have to be unified and I have no idea why so many people are obsessed with this, but I want to try and give you a brief idea what this is all about.
See what I mean, Sabina? I don't think she's a fan of these kinds of theories. I don't quite think that she believes that they're viable. But she's upfront about this. She's straightforward and she'll just tell you as much and she'll give you reasons why. This is one of the reasons I love her so much. She's great to watch.
Consequently, physicists have proposed thousands of these unified theories. Since these large groups usually contain more than just the standard model, unified theories all predict new particles. And then you have to come up with some reason for why we haven't seen these new particles or postulate that they make up dark matter and the usual stuff that hasn't worked since the 1980s. This hopefully explains why I'm unexcited about yet another unified something.
Now, this is one of the reasons I like Sabina so much and so many of the science people don't, because she throws shade at where it belongs. She's honest and says, look, we have problems of unscientific activity happening in this realm of science. It's hampering progress. It's stopping people from doing their jobs. For those who have watched my channel a long time, you'll no doubt be reminded of things like Clovis First, where the peopling of the Americas was considered to have not possibly been older than around 12,000 BC, and anybody who posited anything before that was categorically treated like they were a crackpot, like they didn't know what they were talking about. And then eventually this gets overturned, and eventually Planck's principle comes into effect, and the old guard die off, and the new guard comes in, and we have a new scientific paradigm that moves forward. Guys like Professor Dave, who basically have turned science into some sort of faux religion, they can't have this because it proves that the method is only as good as the people involved. And that's, now you have to start evaluating each practitioner, and that takes work. So instead, Dave just looks at a few individuals that lots of other people in his community are throwing rocks at, mind you, and then he goes and throws rocks at them too. He's going to prove that, you know, science isn't as ideologically problematic as he would like, as Sabina would like you to think.
So as you can see, I would describe Sabina as a solid science communicator overall, and her perspective is welcome in the SciComm landscape. However, the more you familiarize yourself with her content, the more you notice a particular undercurrent that sours her output to a noticeable extent. I personally began to notice this when I observed that a fair amount of science deniers would commonly reference her. That's a red flag.
And this is hilarious to me because, again, they cherry-pick the people that they consider experts and the people they consider worthy of critiquing. And I'm very much reminded of when the Navy pilots first started talking about UFOs or UAPs or whatever the fucking modern acronym is, and how all these debunkers were coming in that all of a sudden knew more about the systems that the Navy guys were using than the Navy guys.
Well, last week, I looked at the first video released by the Pentagon, the Go Fast incident, which rather disappointingly turned out to be a duck or something. You know, all you really had to do was understand what the numbers on the display meant, and you could work it all out.
I'm sure Thunderfoot has tons of hours in the cockpit of one of those there Navy fighter jets using those their radar systems. I'm sure he's well versed in it, right? Come on. But, I mean, this is what has to happen because science is infallible. Science doesn't do anything wrong. When it makes a mistake, it corrects it. And it's practitioners. Well, they can't be a bunch of terrible people, too. There's only a few bad apples, and we're going to peel them out one at a time. And this is why we end up in this position where it's clearly dogmatic. And as Sabine is saying, the opposition that Eric Weinstein is facing is clearly dogmatic.
I won't attempt to explain exactly what Eric's doing. I'll just try to give you my stupid girl summary. Einstein's theories work with a four-dimensional space-time. The space-time's described by what's called the metric tensor that measures the relations between directions. So the metric tensor has 4 times 4 equals 16 entries. But it's a metric, so only 10 of those entries are different. You can just ignore all the words that you didn't understand. The number 10 is the relevant part. It just so happens that one of the first and probably most studied groups for unification is SO10, and that also has a 10 in it. So Eric postulates that these two tens are somehow related. Basically, he doubles the gravitational part of Einstein's theory and takes the one version to be the generator of this group that gives you something like SO10.
You hear that stupid girl version of physics where she's just like, oh, I'm going to use the proper jargon and all this. If you're interested, you can click on the links down below. She's definitely worth subscribing to, especially if you're into physics. But what I'm trying to get at here is that she feels that Weinstein's been done wrong. Now, she feels like it's a dogmatic, unscientific attack on him that is based more on mob mentality than on the actual data itself. Now, there's people that are going to disagree with her. Quote unquote, science educator, Professor Dave. Well, he's going to disagree with her. He's going to come in and explain why Weinstein's wrong. But you know, Professor Dave, he's not so well-versed in physics and stuff. I mean, he claims to be all science-minded, but that takes a lot of work, man. That's why he likes to go after, like, pseudoscience, because he feels like it's shooting fish in a barrel. He knows that his constituents won't do any proper research. They'll just go around screaming, "Murr!" And he replaces proper research with vitriol, which is why we get this kind of bullshit.
Circling back now to the brothers as a pair, they really do have a lot in common. They use the same general formula. Academia bad. I got degrees from bad academia, but I am good. I'm a genius in my field, even though I don't actually do research or publish anything, having zero accolades or respect among scientists in my field. But that's because they're jealous of my brilliance, so they try to suppress my work and also steal it, which are the precise opposite of each other. All the nothing I've done should have earned me a Nobel Prize, and if you disagree, you're just an establishment shill.
Which is even more hilarious when you hear what Sabina has to say when you compare Eric's work to his colleagues.
So this is roughly what Eric's working on, I believe. It's all fairly unremarkable, really. The mathematics is pretty close to what physicists are using already, and it's totally in line with all the other nonsense that physicists in the foundations now work on.
Now, notice Sabina says basically that all the attempts at unifying theories are all in the same boat. They're incomplete. They're missing data. They're relying on future discoveries. They're massaging the equation to make things work. Which makes you wonder why Eric's being singled out and treated so crappily for something that all the rest of them do. But if you've watched any of Eric Weinstein's stuff, I bet you know why.
Eric is such a wise Renaissance man and elder statesman, isn't he? Look at this one. He says we need a scientific revolution. That's pretty hilarious, coming from a guy who has never made any meaningful contribution to science.
But for reasons I don't quite understand. A lot of people find this all very interesting. which is how Eric ended up on Piers Morgan with Sean Carroll. And this happened.
The good news is I have read Eric's paper. Here it is. I actually have it here, right here. And it's worse than you would think. You know, it's not serious. It's a dog ate my homework kind of thing. If you have a dark matter thing, if you have a dark matter prediction, if you have a dark energy prediction, I want to see a plot in the paper. I want to see redshift versus distance. I want to see a calculation of a relic abundance so I can figure out how much dark matter is supposed to be. If you do that, Sean, people will pay attention to the theory. It's very possible.
Sean, first of all, how dare you? Second of all, if you're going to go by the
read your paper?
No, Sean, how dare you cast shade and aspersions of the kind that I wouldn't seek to cast on you, but I will now.
Okay.
I'm not seeking your favor, nor do I need to seek your approval. As you know, you failed to gain tenure.
Now, isn't it interesting how the scientists jump straight into insults right there? It's like, this is the zeitgeist for debunking nowadays. They don't actually address the data anymore. There's no money in it. It's not fun. Nobody wants to turn on Piers Morgan and hear about a bunch of numbers, but they do like to hear people called idiots. So here we are. And no better example of that than the quote-unquote science educator that can't get 20 views on a fucking science video, Professor Dave. He throws rocks at everybody and anybody who he considers to be wrong, but science, not so much. Look right here. Sabina, we've seen, she has very succinct criticisms towards this unifying theory that also apply to other unifying theories. Professor Dave, what's he got? Vitriol.
For years, he had been baselessly complaining about how string theory has a mafia-like stranglehold on funding in the field and aggressively shuts out alternative ideas, especially his, which is so revolutionary, he regularly claims, that it is the key to achieving faster-than-light travel and making us a space-colonizing multiplanetary species.
Yes, Eric's work is far from complete. Yes, he doesn't have a Lagrangian, and he hasn't actually solved any problem, and he hasn't explained how anomaly cancellation works in other than some hand-wavy, there ought to be new particles somewhere. He doesn't have tangible predictions. But then, Eric's only one person who wrote up some notes. If he had wasted some millions of tax money on hiring postdocs and writing papers about it, then he could have easily papered over these shortcomings, just like everyone else in that area.
Damn, girl. Now, this is why so many like her and so many hate her. I personally love this unabashedly honest version of reality and would love to see, you know, this mindset infiltrate archaeology, but probably the only way that's going to happen is if we clone Sabina, and I don't know if there's ethical issues involved in that, but I can't imagine a Smithsonian Institute filled with like half Sabinas. It would be pretty sweet. Be a whole lot easier than it is trying to suss any info from there now. At least they would give you a straight answer instead of, we don't know, call us next week.
And this is why this pisses me off so much. Sean totally knows that most of his colleagues work on similarly flaky stuff. It's just been covered up by more working hours. The literature's full of papers without proper predictions, without Lagrangians, ill-defined operators, or problems that will be solved in some future work that never comes. Sean knows that. Everyone in the damn field knows that. But normally, no one's saying anything about it because they're all tied up in the same scam. Unless the person who comes up with the idea is Eric Weinstein, in which case it's suddenly hugely offensive and everyone starts yelling.
And then she turns it up to 11, basically calling her colleagues liars and grifters, saying they should know that these subtleties aren't complete in any of these theories, yet they focus on Weinstein's, that they are unfairly attacking him when they shouldn't be because all their theories have the same holes. This is a real big problem for Professor Dave, because she is questioning the authority of academia. And according to him, that's the unifying theory of science denial.
A fair amount of science deniers would commonly reference her. That's a red flag, without even verifying whether the videos they reference support the stance of the science denier or not. When enough people are doing this, it is indicative of a tone that encourages science denial. What could this tone be in her case? As it turns out, it is a firm anti-establishment sentiment, and in particular anti-academia sentiment, which, as any viewer of my debunks will recall, I consistently describe as the single characteristic that unites all science denial.
But Professor Dave calls me a science denier because I disagree with archaeologists and Egyptologists from time to time. I mean, he doesn't bother looking into the fact that I'm the one who's holding up the carbon dating, that they're the ones that are just like claiming this written records, right? As a matter of fact, he goes and cites a paper most of them wouldn't cite in a million years to prove his point on that. He's lazy. He doesn't do the research. He's not concerned with the actual science. He's concerned with the end result of the war between science and pseudoscience. To him, it's all about culture war bullshit, which is no path to the truth. Big shock.
Well, Joel, why don't you talk for a little bit about all these supposed ADS-CFD predictions for condensed matter, this or that, which were supposed to revolutionize superconductivity? Whatever happened to that? And just exactly how is string theory defined anyway? Did they actually ever solve the problem of quantum gravity? Like, did they ever prove it's finite? What Calabi-Yau manifold are we talking about again? Or how about loop quantum gravity? Do they have a well-defined Hamiltonian? Where is the classical limit? And these are areas in which thousands of people have spent decades and billions of dollars. Why aren't you talking about this rather than crapping on Eric, who's one single person and at least trying to do something new?
You thought she was going to let up? Oh, no. Sabina has no intention of letting Sean Carroll present his theory as accurate while Eric Weinstein's gets thrown around as bullshit. She's going to highlight how both of them are basically the same in this regards. They are missing massive parts of the data that they would need. This is her professional opinion, okay? This is something that she is uniquely positioned compared to most of us to weigh in on. She gives detailed reasons for it. Unlike Professor Dave the debunker, who just gives us this kind of bullshit.
He says he has a theory of everything, which he calls geometric unity. He first unveiled this theory when he was invited by an old grad school buddy to give a public talk at Oxford in 2013. He didn't attempt to publish anything about it, and then began complaining about how scientists wouldn't review it or take it seriously, as though scientists are in the habit of watching two-hour-long YouTube videos instead of reading papers. When pressed as to why he refused to publish a paper about his work, he always gave one of several mutually exclusive reasons. If he published, people would steal his ideas. He can't publish because Archive only accepts academic email addresses and he doesn't have one. Academia doesn't deserve his amazing ideas. He doesn't need to publish anything. The lecture was recorded and people can just watch the video. Not to have his rightful place as the next Einstein taken from him, Eric took to creating his own version of academia on Discord.
Just senseless insults and unsupported accusation, which is the normal for Professor Dave. Despite him claiming to be a science educator, this is his modus operandi, because he's not a science educator, man. Look at his videos. He gets like a few thousand views when he talks about actual science, when he goes to debunk somebody who is more popular than him at the time in the zeitgeist, it's getting more clicks or whatever. When he goes after one of those people who's actually created something, next thing you know, Dave gets some views, Dave gets some clicks, Dave pays some bills. He goes to talk about chemistry, nobody watches. He goes to talk about physics, less than nobody watches. This is why we get this kind of bullshit. People are paying him, he's making money, he's paying his bills. But he's giving middle school versions of fucking insults even, not even, and the science? Completely secondary to his political ideologies, to his motivations between his culture war, between science and pseudoscience, or whatever the fuck, whatever goofy-ass demons he has in his head that he's battling against, that's the only thing that matters to him. Accurately portraying the data to his constituents don't mean shit. Because clicks are what pays. When he makes science, nobody watches. When he insults people, everybody watches. So which one do you think he does? He's as much of a scientist as Hulk Hogan was a real wrestler. He's an actor, man. He's an actor.
They say that they want people to think outside the box. But if someone actually does it, they're like, nah, not this way. You don't talk like us. You don't walk like us. We don't like the people you play with. Therefore, we'll not look at your ideas. This is the sorry state of theoretical physics now.
This is so familiar, I had to weigh in on it. In the alternate history archaeology community, crackpots like Graham Hancock or Randall Carlson or Jimmy Corsetti or myself, we get labeled all kinds of goofy things. But even real scientists, like Dr. Elizabeth Weiss, you know, she's opposed to NAGPRA, which is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, which basically, at this point, has it where they can pretty much, the tribes can pretty much shut down a site over the finding of any artifact by claiming it's a grave good. So they shut down tons of archaeological digs all over the country, and boy, if they find bones, you can forget about it. Those belong to the tribes now. This is an understandable thing from a tribal perspective. You have a bunch of Native Americans that they belong to this land, they consider this land theirs, and this is about the only fucking control they have left. Good luck getting it from them. On the flip side, you have an archaeologist who works in the Americas, who wants to be able to dig in the fucking ground and get an artifact and evaluate it. And guess what? Good luck getting your hands on that fucking artifact, lady. So she's upset about it, so she bitches about it, and now guess what? She's a racist. What? She's not a racist. She has the position that most archaeologists would have if their number one priority was doing archaeology. The position she holds was held almost to a man a generation ago. Archaeology very much was opposed to almost everything that led to NAGPRA. Every time that something was passed, you find archaeologists complaining to Congress this is giving the tribes too much power. The Smithsonian Institute is still immune to NAGPRA laws today. Yeah, go look that one up. NAGPRA is not something that is like some great thing universally loved by archaeologists. As a matter of fact, it was fought tooth and fucking nail. I would not be surprised if Flint Dibble's own father opposed NAGPRA. Most of his colleagues did. So for them to just be like, oh, she's a racist for wanting it, that's no different than saying the tribes are unscientific for wanting to maintain their land. They're just trying to hold on to what little bit they got. She's just trying to do her fucking job. Why is this so fucking hard for people to understand? Because ideology rules the discourse, not data, not common sense. And this is what we get when we got a fucking world full of Professor Dave Explains and Flint Dibbles and other numbnuts running around representing science. It falls off the rails. When you've got people like myself that have a number of people that would listen to them before they would listen to an expert in their field, you have a fucking problem, and it's not me that did it. It's you guys that fucking did it. You erased your own fucking credibility by doing shit like this, calling people racist for wanting to do their goddamn job. There's a perfect example of it. I don't even want to talk about how many other times I've been called racist or Graham Hancock's been called racist or whatever, because all you have to do is say, man, I wonder who made that big pile of rocks. And you're like, oh!
And then you get all these people piling onto each hate parade. The groupthink is so thick. Like, they all think it's fine to hate on Eric because they expect their colleagues to cheer on them for doing so.
And again, this is familiar as hell. I mean, Graham Hancock would be the number one person that they go after for this. If you're starting to start a new channel on YouTube and you want to be about archaeology, throw some rocks at Graham Hancock. Guaranteed 500 subscribers and a bunch of views, even if your video sucks. Now, I will point out that nowadays you're going to probably have to deal with me if your video sucks too bad, but point is, Graham Hancock is a easy target. He has been for a very long time, and the way that he's targeted is not scientific. It is, generally speaking, vitriolic. They yell at him. They insult him. They equate him with flat earthers and other bullshit, racists and all kinds of goofy shit, everything in the world, but actually address the data that he talks about. They'll discuss things a little bit off on the side, but it's almost always insulting. It's almost always, no, it's just a stupid little kid. And then they wonder why people like me end up not trusting them. People that love science end up not trusting the science communicators. Science communicators. Vitriol ain't science, bitch.
And those who think that maybe Eric's idea isn't so bad, keep their mouth shut.
Tom Dillahay was an archaeologist who proved that that Clovis first model was wrong. He was the first one to do it. And he basically had his life threatened in order to make this happen.
what surprised me on the other side of the coin was the stiff, closed-mindedness of many North American archaeologists. Just finishing my PhD in Peru and moved down to Chile during the dictatorship years of Pinochet. So I was opening up anthropology departments. So politically, it was difficult at that time. And another colleague who sent a letter to the newspaper in Chile, one of the major newspapers, saying that Monteverde was creation of the CIA to implant me down there. And, you know, that puts you and your family in a dangerous situation in a country like that at that time. It made me reveal that there's a small, not a majority, but a minority of people who will do anything in their power to defend their paradigm.
Now, don't assume that all science is the same because of this. That's far cry from reality, all right? Some scientists are better than others. Some people are better than others. Hell, even Professor Dave understands that some of these scientists are good people and some of them are fucked. The only difference is Professor Dave uses mob mentality instead of, I don't know, science to determine which ones are the good and which ones are the bad. But anyway, I hope that was a good video. Excuse my throat. I'm a little sick here if you couldn't tell, but I got more in the pipes. Have a good day. Thank you very much. Don't forget to click like and subscribe down below, and we will see you next time.
I haven't seen such novel ideas from a single theory, from a single person, sorry, ever. And I don't know if anyone else will tell you this, but what you've done is remarkable, man.
I don't even know how to be with that, to be honest. Look. Thank you.